Okay, open your Bibles up to Isaiah 40, verse 31. We all have needs. We all have needs that need to be met. But we must learn to wait. To wait on the Lord. Verse 31 there says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I want my strength renewed. I want to mount up with wings like eagles. See, I want to run and not be weary. And I want to walk and not faint. That means I have to wait on the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I have to ask Him. Ask Him. I said, to teach me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait on You. But you know, when I read this verse, the way I take it is that it is coming from a point of need. And how, if we are willing to bring our needs to the Lord, lay them at His feet, and trust Him, basically, let go and let God. He will refresh, renew, and replace our need with His abundance of every good thing. Because that's all He gives. That's what comes down from heaven. Nothing but good and perfect things. And they come down in abundance. Do they not? As we wait on the Lord, it will take faith and patience. He always delivers on His promises. Always. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Look to verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 14. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." How do we inherit the promises? Right, through faith and patience. That was a first review question in the past. Verse 13, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" Abraham waited 25 years from the time the promise was first made. 25 years. But please remember, it's all about timing. His timing. And His timing is perfect timing. Always. Don't grow weary and get tired. Wait on the Lord with faith and patience. When you wait on Him, you will run and not grow weary, will you? Not at all. But the thing of it is, when you get to this place of tiredness, we normally feel like we have done everything and we have nothing left to give. See, by this point, we normally have spent everything we have. We've exhausted all the possibilities our understanding can comprehend. But the thing is, when you have a need and you expect God to work in your life and to answer that need, whatever you have, in whatever state you are, you still have to give it over to God. See, too many times we try to meet the need on our own. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to read you this out of the Message Bible. But here in Mark 6, verses 34 to 38, here's a big time need being met. Here, Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus arrived, he saw this huge crowd. At the sight of them, his heart broke. Like sheep with no shepherd, they were. He went right to work teaching them. When his disciples thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day. They interrupted. "We are a long way out in the country, and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they can get supper." Jesus said, "You do it. Fix supper for them." They replied, "Are you serious? You want us to go and spend a fortune on food for their supper?" But he was quite serious. "How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory." Well, that didn't take long. "Five," they said, "plus two fish." 5,000 plus meal served. Jesus took what they had, blessed it, and multiplied it. Best meal ever. Fed them all. Even had leftovers. 12 baskets full. Not half, it said full. Big time need being met. Mark chapter 8. So you just turn a few pages there. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to stay with the Message Bible. But here's another big need being met. Verses 1 through 5. "At about this same time, he again found himself with a hungry crowd on his hands. He called his disciples together and said, 'This crowd is breaking my heart. They have stuck with me for 3 days, and now they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll faint along the way, and some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples responded, 'What do you expect us to do about it? Buy food out here in the desert?' He asked, 'How much bread do you have?' 7 loaves, they said." A need for a meal for 4,000 met. Jesus took what they had, blessed and multiplied it, fed all of them, even had leftovers again. 7 large baskets is what they said were filled. Both times the expectations were enormous. Both times, what did they ask? What did he ask them for? And both times, what did they give him? They gave Jesus what they had. And what did they give to him? A leftover, right? See, it wasn't a freshly prepared meal. It was a leftover from a meal that somebody had brought along with them. So it was leftovers. So many times we are reluctant to give God what we have because we don't think God can take what we have and make it work for what we need. It's all about those times we need to be thankful and what we have. And all the while willing to still give what we have so God can supernaturally bless it and turn it into what we need. It's not up to us to decide what God can do or what He needs to do with as He is meeting our needs. It's up to us to trust the Lord with your whole heart. The most important thing to note here is that when we give Him what we have and expect in faith the need to be met, He is willing to do it for us as each need arises. Not just once, but again and again and again. The fact that he is willing to do it again, you would think, would be an easily learned lesson for us. When we read about the disciples and the heroes of the Bible, you know, we read about them all the time. Well, I think sometimes we like to think that we are, we would like to be like them. I want to be more like those guys. You know, but in essence, we're not much different than them. And in many ways, we're just like them. Here's a story I recently read about a minister's wife who was a wonder at conserving food, and she rarely threw any of it away. At one meal, she gave her husband nothing but leftovers, and he was obviously not enthusiastic about it. He began to pick at the food and ate a little, but he had not said grace yet. While his wife, sitting across from him at the table, she smiled so sweetly and said, "Honey, you haven't said grace yet. You haven't blessed this food." He looked at her and said, "Sweetheart, if you can show me one item that hasn't been blessed at least two times, I can't see what another prayer can do for it." You're still there in Mark chapter 8. We're going to read verses 13 through 21, Message Bible. Now keep in mind that this is shortly after feeding the 4,000. Okay? Now Jesus, he just been out of the boat, not very long, and he's disputing with the Pharisees here. Okay? And they are giving him a rough time, and they're trying to test him, and they want signs. Show us a sign from heaven, they said. And he told them what basically, in this generation, you aren't going to get a sign. How many signs did they need? So he gets done. He's not going to dispute with them anymore. He turns around, and that's where we'll pick up. That's when he says, verse 13, he then left them, the Pharisees. He got back in the boat and headed for the other side. But the disciples forgot to pack a lunch, except for a single loaf of bread. There wasn't a crumb in the boat. Jesus warned, though. He said, "Be very careful. Keep a sharp eye out for the contaminating yeast of the Pharisees and the followers of Herod." Verse 16. Meanwhile, the disciples were finding fault with each other because they had forgotten to bring bread. You think they heard what Jesus just told them and what he warned them about? Jesus overheard and said, "What are you fussing? Because you forgot bread? Don't you see the point of all this? Don't you get it at all? Remember the 5 loaves I broke for the 5,000? How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up?" They said, 12. "And the 7 loaves for the 4,000. How many bags full of leftovers did you get?" 7. He said, "Don't you still not get it? Come on, guys. Don't you get it?" Jesus met the need in abundance, but how easily it was forgotten. They had just seen Jesus do the miraculous twice. Jesus had fed, by some estimates, as many as 35,000 individuals with the contents and the equivalent of 2 Happy Meals. And here it is some 10 minutes later, so to speak, and they're worried a whole loaf of bread is not going to be enough to feed the ones who are in the boat. Jesus and his guys. How many guys did he have with him? 12. And did I mention, it wasn't an ocean liner, it was a small boat, guys. You don't think one loaf? If we're willing to admit it, we're a lot like the disciples. And they're a lot like us. I say this all the time. In the Muppet movie, one of the Muppets sitting down with Kermit. And he looks at Kermit because of what Kermit's going through. And he says, Kermit. He looks up. He says, Kermit, peoples is peoples. Human nature is human nature, isn't it? We have needs just like the disciples did. And we pray and we ask God to meet our needs, and he does. And then 10 minutes later, another situation arises, and instead of having carryover or bridge gap faith from the last miracle God provided, just like the disciples, we revert back to square one and think, how in the world are we going to solve this dilemma? We don't have enough food to feed these people. Or in our case, we don't have enough resources to meet this need. And it's Groundhog Day all over again, isn't it? And Jesus says, do you still not get it? Do you still not get it? Stop looking around and listen to what you do have, and then be willing to give it over to me, and I will multiply it. My name is El Shaddai. We all have mountaintop as well as valley experiences in life. And Jesus is right there for us in every situation, willing and able to meet, not just meet, but exceed our every need. As long as we are willing to give him what we have to work with. Because you're walking in his favor. His unmerited favor. Supernatural favor. It's a gift. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Back to the King James. New King James. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. This is Jesus. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. See, those were her last 2 coins. The last 2 coins that she had. She obviously had had more, but they were her last. She would be broke after this. What those 2 coins represented was everything that woman had. What those 2 coins really were, they were leftovers. Think about that. 2 coins when you have 100 coins, no big deal. 2 coins when you have 2 coins, big deal. Sometimes we feel like what we have is not enough for God to work with. But just like this widow woman, whatever we do have is enough. I'll say that again. Whatever we do have is enough for God to do a miracle with. If we are just willing to let go and let God do what he says in his word and declares he will do. You can turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to be reading these ones out of the Message Bible also, and I hope you don't mind, because I really feel that they jump out a little bit more that way. They did to me. Now, we're going to read verses 7 through 16 here, 1 Kings 17. Now, this is Elijah. He had just delivers a word from the Lord to King Ahab, right? That there's not going to be any rain in the land for 3 years. And then God sends him up to a brook to hide out. He says, I'll take care of you. Just go up to the brook. Okay, and that's where we're going to pick up right there. Verse 7 says, eventually the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him. Elijah, Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up and he went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, "Please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink." As she went to get it, he called out, "And while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat?" It goes on at my house all the time. She said, "I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die." Earlier, when we read about the disciples, they weren't aware of what they had around them in their surroundings. The woman, however, she knew exactly what she had and was aware of what she had in the house. And what she was telling him was that she did not have enough food to feed him alone, feed herself and her son. Now, verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first make a biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought." God said it, she believed it, and for her, that settled it. She believed, and she received. Verse 15, "And she went right off and did it." No doubt. She didn't doubt at all right there, did she? No. "She did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out as he said. Daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it." If God says it, He'll do it. It's up to us to believe. Simply believe. But I can't wonder to myself how long that jar of meal went and it just didn't run out, because it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, you know that when it stopped raining, instantly you had vegetation growing, you had wheat coming up again. No. So it took some time. So you figure out by the time there was a plant, then there was a harvest, that jar of meal and oil didn't run out. Because she responded to the word of God. She did not doubt in her heart. She believed and she received. We need to believe and we will receive. Whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, we need to believe and we will receive. He makes possible what seems impossible for those who are willing to give Him what they have and to trust Him and to wait on Him to fulfill what He says He will do. Amen? Another story for you. Sorry, I like my stories when I find them. A man came out of church one Sunday, encountering an old flower lady. At her feet, corsages and boutonnieres were on a wide spread out newspaper in front of her. The flower lady was smiling. her wrinkled old face alive with inner joy. He started down the stairs. Then, on impulse, he turned, picked out a flower, and as he put it in his lapel, he said, "You look happy this morning." "Why not? Everything's good," she replied. She was dressed so shabby and seemed so very old that her reply startled him. "You've been sitting here for many years now, haven't you? And always smiling. You wear your troubles well, ma'am." To which she replied, "You can't reach my age and not have troubles. Only it's like Jesus in Good Friday." She paused for a moment. "Yes," he prompted. "Yes? Well, when Jesus was crucified," she said, "on Good Friday, that was the worst day for the whole world. And when I get troubles, I remember that. And then I think of what happened only 3 days later. Easter and our Lord arising. So when I get troubles, I've learned to wait 3 days. Somehow everything gets all right again." Think about it. You don't have to react right away. Wait on the Lord. See what He has to say. He always comes through. Because you can't keep Him down. He's risen. Satan tried. He lost. Wait on the Lord. Don't fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Payday is on the way. Waiting on the Lord. That's a theme that runs through the Bible. But it runs through the Bible with great results, doesn't it? Abraham and Sarah waited on the Lord. And they gave birth to a son. And they became the father and the mother of many nations, with descendants that numbered more than the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. He waited on the promise, and he was rewarded. He was rewarded. And you know those promises that were made to him of blessings and multiplying are ours? They're ours also. Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. We just talked about that on Sunday morning. He eventually wound up in prison, though. But he never lost heart. And he waited on God. And God honored his waiting and his faith. Joseph went from the prison to the palace. He became a ruler over all of Egypt, second only in command to the great Pharaoh. Those are great stories. And the Bible is loaded with stories just like those. Stories about real situations and real people that prevailed when they waited on the Lord. The same could be said of you today. For we all have testimonies, whether we admit it or not, of the times that God stepped in and did something miraculous for each and every one of us. You don't think your testimony is something? Share it with somebody. Watch how they are blessed. And you'll see the excitement they got. For there are times each of us have said or thought this. I don't know how it happened. Someone is watching out and looking out for me. That being God, folks. That who's looking out for you is God. That is being in His supernatural favor, because it's working for you. It's working for you. And if we were to list all of those and put them in front in a form of a story, they'd be just as exciting because God did them. You had nothing to do with them. You trusted in Him. You have an awesome testimony. Each and every one of us in here have a testimony. Probably have several of them. I know I do. When we have testimony nights, everybody sits down. And I go, what? You know, some people haven't heard some of your testimonies. Some of us haven't heard how the favor of God has changed things in your life because you've continually confessed that you have favor with God. I have favor with you, Lord. I know that I have favor. And if you have favor with him, I guarantee you're going to have favor with man. So we need to be confessing his favor and thanking him for his favor consistently. Because he wants you to know it. He wants you to expect it. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to walk in it consistently day in and day out. What is possible in each one of our futures? If we are willing to wait on God, it's more like what's not impossible in each one of our futures. Don't get out ahead of him. Wait on God. For if we are willing to wait on God with expectation, are you expecting? There is nothing that is out of the realm of possibility for each and every one of us. But what's the word say? For with God, all things are possible. Say that. With God, all things are possible. How about this? If God is for me, who can ever be against me? Right? Who can ever be against you? And when I say ever means at any time. At any time. You got to realize that. Got to realize that. What are you waiting on God for today? Because what does it say? This starts out for those who wait. To wait entails confident expectation and active hope in the Lord. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Know that his timing is perfect. And the same way he came through for you the last time. The last time you had a need, didn't he come through? Didn't he come through for each and every one of you? Yes, he did. You got student loans to pay off. You don't think he can make a way for you to get those loans paid off faster than you could ever imagine? He can meet that need. Why are you getting all worried and excited about it? Quit getting there. Quit worrying about it. He'll meet that need. I know that how many young people, that's what they're looking at right now. How am I going to pay this off? Don't say, how am I going to pay this off? I know I got the favor of God on me. And I know he's going to make a way for me to make sure that I got all these student loans paid off because I don't want them chilling me for the rest of my life. And he will. You'll pay them off supernaturally faster than you ever did. I'm not here to brag about myself, but I'm going to brag on the Lord. I'm going to tell you what he did for me. I started and I learned to honor him with my first fruits. Because Pastor, when I asked him, because I had an issue with that, and he came and talked to me, he says, you have a problem with this tithing, and you know, because I was being taught that as a new Christian, and I said, "Yeah." I says, "Pastor, is it net or gross?" That was my question. He just looked at me. He said, "That's easy, brother." He says, "First fruits," and I have honored God ever since. I had a 30-year mortgage on my house. It was paid off in 15 years. Both my girls graduated from college. Not one loan. It was paid for. And the Lord made sure I have the normal routine bills. I owe nothing to nobody. And I give glory to God for that. Because I've learned to honor him. And I'm not telling you about it. I'm just telling you it works. I know the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. That's the favor. Because when I speak about the favor, I've had the different positions, the different jobs that I've had through a career. And when my career came over, I really wasn't sure what I was to do. And then when I was here coming up through this ministry and asked about coming in and becoming pastor here, becoming the assistant pastor here, I prayed about it and I went, yeah, okay. I had it in my spirit. I was ready for this. And I'm going to tell you what, you think that the devil beats me up constantly over these kind of things. Who are you? You're nothing but an old mill honky. Where'd you come from? And I got to stop and think, but I got to go all the way back to when I was a little young fella, and I was brought up that I went to church every Sunday. Like Dean said, I had the pins. I had the pins going all the way down. I was a kid. But you know, I never knew Jesus. Never knew Jesus. And I went, and then one day, I saw the older folks of the church, let's call them the older people, the elders, right? I walk outside as a young teenager, and I saw them doing some things that I didn't think you should do. And you know what? I said, if that's what Christianity is about, I did an about face and went the other way. But I had actually back then thought, and it didn't come till recently, it was when I was praying, said, don't you remember? He was working me in a different, I was working as a young teenager back in the church that I was attending in different positions. I had been called to be part of the ministry for years. I went another direction. He blessed me through it till he got me back to this point. And I humbled myself and said, here I am. Use me. Use me, Lord. But it's his favor. His favor worked. His favor has worked. It's watched over me. The more I've learned to pray and thank him for the favor that he has given to me, things just continually happen. And I'm just encouraging you. You need to keep confessing favor with the Lord. Keep confessing, I have favor with the Lord. Amen? And that's what we got to do. So start with today, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And you shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So if he's met your needs before, he will continually meet your needs. You could depend on him for that. Amen? Thank you.